Do you think you react particularly badly to rejection?
Well, yeah. I was fascinated again to learn about emotional dysregulation as opposed to RSD, which is just a term for those feelings that we can have about taking things particularly badly. And particularly, quite a lot of the, it's awful to say experts, Michael Gove has ruined the word experts for us all, but certainly a lot of the psychiatrists and clinicians saying that they are absolutely convinced that the next time that guidelines are overhauled, emotional dysregulation will be a key part of the criteria for a diagnosis. Because I really tried to be less sensitive as a kid, but I just couldn't stop crying or getting upset or just feeling these boiling, suddenly like from zero to straight out of the top of the thermometer, responses to things. And as an adult, and without any kind of understanding, like pre-good therapy, because there's therapy and there's good therapy, and pre-giving up booze, and therefore having to, you know, focus a bit more, but also not artificially inflating my responses to everything, I would still find things incredibly difficult. And I would take criticism, but I would probably still go off and have an absolute sobbing fit about it afterwards. Because it wasn't that I couldn't necessarily see things in a balanced way. It would just be one part of my brain would be, I can see this in a very logical way and this is completely sensible. And the other part of it was, oh my God, I am being torn apart by knives and my body is being fed to wolves as we speak. And it's, again, it's one of those things that when you hear people talk about it, you're just like, even I, this is awful. This is also just my lovely 90s upbringing still kicking in, but just like, oh, pull yourself together. Stop being so flipping tragic. But with that emotional dysregulation, it's just that. It is just emotions all over the place where, in some cases where they shouldn't be, like really disproportionate responses to things. But then also there are places where actually what you are experiencing is a reasonable response to things. Ironically, like my husband and I adopted a dog in 2020, and we honestly had to, and we still do, pass a series of really regular and rigorous checks with the charity. And one of them was that we had to join this dog training group who would like teach us about all these ways to sort of not just manage the dog, but learn about ourselves. Honestly, learning about trigger stacking in dogs. So when, for example, your dog who is normally totally chill when, let's take a stereotype, the postman comes round, has an absolute meltdown when your perfectly nice postman, who's always really sweet to her, comes round, it's very rarely going to be about the postman. It's going to be about lots and lots and lots of tiny, tiny little things that have built up over the course of that morning or that day and taken them over threshold. And oh my God, that was just such a lovely parallel for me and my brain. And also, to be fair, the vast army of nieces and nephews in my family, just again, understanding, you know, my brain particularly, but also just having this lovely term, this lovely visual that I could use. So if I'm finding something more challenging than usual or somebody more irritating than usual, then usually if I work back a bit, it's like, well, it's because you're not flipping Superman. And, you know, these things have all added up. Plus you're worried about that's happening next week. You've got to finally send off your marriage certificate to go and get your pensions sorted out because that's been hanging over you since last August. And you're really freaked out they're going to lose them or something, or that it's going to take ages. So just being able to pick those apart and then figuring out, oh, well, that's why I completely overreacted to that. But generally, as long as I sort of keep to a reasonable routine and do now bring in the exercises that I can do and try and get enough sleep and just make sure that I'm not, you know, gargling with M&Ms before bed, then it's a massive, massive help.
Do you think it's possible to tell the difference between a irrational response to a criticism or a rejection and a rational one?
Well, they're both going to be rational in the most literal sense of it, because your brain is like, oh my God, a bear. And it's like, but it's not a bear. A few years ago, I really got into horse riding, which I'd loved as a child. And then I went to the 2012 Paralympics and saw the para dressage and was just like, horses are amazing, must start it again. And it was absolutely terrifying. And it wasn't terrifying because I'm really tall, so the horses I ride are quite big. Actually, that usually means they're much slower than the ponies, who are just absolutely terrifying. Mm. But my responses to everything was just mad. I mean, objectively, like, I would have like real over-the-top panic responses to going around some corners sometimes. And I'd usually end up in tears, and my poor riding instructor would come up, and the amount of times that she'd say, "Kat, it's supposed to be fun. You know, you're paying for it. It's not supposed to be torture." And I'd just be there going, "I don't know what's wrong with me." I ended up having hypnosis for this, for goodness sake. Mm. I mean, hypnosis for horse riding, that's tragic. But at the same time, it was incredibly useful because I could take apart what I was worried about, would go through these feelings over and over again and just sort of, you know, work through it. And actually, it just ended up being that partly it was all of the things going on in my brain that I didn't know about, but also it was all of these worries that I'd had the last time that I'd been riding, which is about like 15 years before, very briefly, just all of these things that I'd sort of still kept in my body and worried would happen. And again, one of the reasons that I've got not over that, but through that, and I do take this as a parallel to everything else that I experience with ADHD, is partly the sort of 10,000 hours of practice. I'm still an awful horse rider. My favorite t-shirt just says, "I'm the world's okayest horse rider." That's great. My, you know, I have "okay" tattooed on my wrist because perfectionism is very real for this woman. But also, it's just knowing that's, sorry, I keep saying, sounding like an awful, like, soapy self-help cliche, but just knowing myself more and being able to go, okay, well, this is why you're feeling this and why. Mm. And this is, again, where talking things through with somebody is so helpful, to get that, you know, with somebody trusted, whether it's a therapist or a loved one or a friend, it's just being able to get a second opinion or something and sort of analyze it that bit further, but without analyzing yourself into the ground.